Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome all to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Tim Tarantine here with Carla Winchester, and we're happy to have all of you on board for the podcast today.
Tim, you had a great conversation this week with a champion in economic development, and we had the opportunity to meet with David Rumbarger, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Community Development Foundation in Mississippi earlier this year. And every time we get a chance to sit down with David, I personally walk away with so many insights into the field of economic development. He is a great leader and a great mentor in this field. Tell me about your conversation with David.
I'm always lucky, Carla, when I get to interview my friends in this business. And David is truly a friend in the business. He's got over 30 years of experience from chambers of commerce management to economic development. Tupelo, Lee County, and Mississippi has exponentially grown through David's leadership. He just recruited a new company, Grammar Incorporated, with 650 jobs. David and his team played a pivotal role in locating Toyota's Corolla plant in North Mississippi there. That plant now has 2,000 employees and over $1 billion in new capital investments. David loves this business. He knows his stuff. We had a great conversation both about economic development now and in the future, and I know you'll enjoy the insight. So sit back, relax, and hear from our friend in the business and a heralded economic developer, Mr. David Rumbarger. David, welcome to the call. We're so glad to have you, and congratulations, sir, on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about you finish the following sentence to start, David? The most relevant economic developers will have blank in common in the year 2020.
Well, they'll probably have innovation and flexibility in common.
Tell us more about the flexibility piece. How important is that?
Well, you know, the way we are doing deals even today is not the way we were doing them 20 or 25 years ago or even 5 years ago. And I think the way the economy and companies are moving, priorities will become different and, you know, strategic locations will become different.
So, David, when you think about the years you've been in economic development, what are some of the major changes you've seen in our industry over time?
Well, I think some of the major changes are clients wanting larger parcel acreage for their sites, also bigger buffer zones in those acreages. That's one thing. From a standpoint of workforce, they spend about three times the time that they spent in workforce, you know, a number of years ago, not just finding out if there's a quantity of workers available, but what is the skill level and what are complementary industries that they may be working in the area at the time that they're making their recruitment pitch. So it's really drilled down to a whole different level than what it was before.
And then on the side of the organization and its needs, how are you looking for talent differently today than you were, let's say, 10, 15 years ago? What types of people are you looking for today and how are they different?
We had the luxury of a lot longer planning cycle in the past. Today's cycles are very short and clients make those cycles even shorter. So we need somebody that can think well on their feet, somebody that's not married to an idea so far that they'll die on the sword to the idea come to fruition, and they're really more client-focused than they are product-focused. And we're looking for people still that are hardworking and have evidenced that in their career so far and are willing to learn new ways. We also teach a lot of that here at CDF once we get a good employee and they learn our way.
And your way is obviously unique. You all have had great success. As an organization, you're a model for how organizations kind of do their work internally. Tell me about what you do. What's that process like onboarding an all-star?
We have a lot of great coaches here. I mean, we develop the whole person, not just professionally, but we want them to succeed in their personal life. I know it's an overused word, but it's more like a family atmosphere. We spend a lot of time together on what their goals and objectives are, not just for this job and not just for our organization, but for them personally. And we try to help them be vested personally in the organization and its goals and objectives. The organization does a 10-year planning cycle, which the community is involved in. We do 5-year operation plans, and then we do 1-year execution plans. And those execution plans are both individual and corporate. So we get a chance to change our direction every year if that's what the individual or the corporation wants to do. And that keeps us on the cutting edge in economic development as we go through that process. If we don't achieve something, it's on the board for next year.
Yeah, and so the planning is kind of the continual execution of the plan is the most important thing. And it sounds like you've built a great team. I've met some of them. They're great folks to be around, and they obviously know their stuff. I'm wondering, does our listening audience know how you got into the business? Can you go back and quickly just kind of express how you found economic development or how it found you?
Well, I was a public administration major and I had some background in engineering and went to work as a cadet engineer. That's the lowest end of the totem pole at the Alabama Gas Company. And there was a meeting in Montgomery one day, and they had to have someone to go to represent the company for economic, or actually at that time it was industrial development. Nobody knew anything about that, but I was the only one that was not engaged doing something else, and they sent me to the meeting, and a whole new world opened up when they started talking about industry recruitment, job creation, working with companies. And of course, my job at the gas company is that since I was a low man on totem pole was to meet every new client, because you had to program a mainframe to set up their billing account. Nobody wanted to do that. And 6 months out of college, I was putting together GE Plastics and other companies, putting together their billing information and meeting with their people at the plant. And I found that really interesting to meet the new people in town and enjoyed visiting with people and understanding and hearing their dreams of what their company would do for the community. And that's how I got into economic development.
Wow. Amazing story. And to think that that process was the process at that time is, it seems funny today, but it's obviously the way that many of our industry leaders have cut their teeth on economic development, if you will. Speaking of the industry as a whole, if you could rewrite the rules for how we do our work in economic development, what immediate changes would you make in the way we do our business?
Well, I think the profession has to grow up a little bit. You know, CPAs and lawyers and other professions have industry standards for their participants. And I think ongoing education, I mean, I'm a lifelong learner and I want to learn everything I can, not just about economic development, but about companies and about economies and about exports and imports and economic models, et cetera. And that's good. But there's got to be an industry standard. And we have tried to do that through the International Economic Development Council, the CECD program. And that's been somewhat successful. But it is a broad background that many of the professionals come to this business. So certified professional finance managers and others are great certifications. But I think if we could have a little bit better discipline on being able to call it a profession, I think that would stand us in good stead going forward.
I guess the question is, what is the state of economic development professionalism? I guess that you could call it the ecosystem of professional development and economic development. If you had to classify that, what's the state of that professional development world for economic developers?
Well, it's changed quite a bit in the 20 or 30 years I've been in. And when we talked about flexibility and innovation, actually our clients drive us that way. When they ask us to do things that we think we can't do, and we ended up putting communities together and sites together and workforces together to do things that meets their needs and demands. And so the state of economic development is always in flux. It depends a lot on national policy, on international policy, and on your product, your local backyard. What do you have to sell? What do you have to attract a client? What do you have to keep and maintain their clients? We spent as much time this past 10 years in Tupelo, because we have a large industrial base, maintaining and improving our existing customers, people like Cooper Tire that wanted to invest $200 million in new machines, as well as recruiting people like Toyota 10 years ago, almost next year. So it's a balance, and that's the beauty of the business or the profession. It's not the same thing every day. You may do similar things for different companies, but they're all going to be different, they're all going to be unique, and they're all going to be client-centered to their needs and their desires. And that's what makes it appealing to me as far as the diversity of the business.
There's no question about it, and you're absolutely right. No day is the same in this business. I want to ask you some rapid-fire questions, and it's going to feel kind of like you're on the hot seat on the Oprah show, but I'm going to state a word and then have you give a top-of-mind response to that word. And hopefully we can get enough of them in here that people get a real view of your leadership, because I'm a huge fan of what you're able to do and what you've done there in your community. Let's start with the word workforce.
I would say right now it's strained, and it's one that's changing between the different generations and the different capabilities of the workforce.
Incentives.
Ingredients, but not the whole pie.
I love that. I love that. The future economic developer.
Multi-talented from many different professions, whether it be accounting, construction, engineering, public policy, et cetera. Going to have a lot of irons and a lot of fires.
Local elected officials.
Partners. They have to be on board or else you're not going to be able to succeed to the degree that you would succeed.
Data.
Required for truth-telling.
The secret sauce at CDF.
Secret sauce at CDF is a mixture of hard work, dedication, client-focused results, and community partnerships. There is not one ingredient. Sorry.
I love it. And I don't believe they're supposed to be. Finally, David, what do you see as the most important thing you as an economic development leader can focus on for the next 2 or 3 years? What is the most important thing you can focus on?
In Tupelo, we're in a transition of leadership between generations. And we're trying to define the next generation's brand of leadership and what they feel is important. And that has been our journey for the last 18 or 24 months, and it will be our journey for the next 36 or 48 months. It is definitely a transition period in our community, and those emerging leaders, we spend a lot of time with them, and they've got ideas, and I think they really want to make the future brighter, but they have to dig in and apply themselves together with all of us.
There's no question about it. David, thank you for all of your hard work and for the example you set of leadership in our nation in economic development. And of course, congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please tweet me at Ron Kitchens.